Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
Hey there, Rooster Team fans. How are you guys doing today? People came all around the world to see this panel. This is amazing.
We're sorry.
Get that out of the way. Yeah. Like, it's smart.
Just preemptive apologies. Let's go ahead and go on down the table and introduce ourselves. Hey there, AfterBuzz TV fans. My name is Megan Salinas, and you can tweet at me at the Menguin. That's THEMENGUIN. And to my left,
hi, all my buddies. I'm Katie Cullen. You can follow me all over the social medias at Kiaxet. That is KIAXET. And if you're one of the 2-3 dozen people who joined us today, you lovely human beings, use the hashtag #InTheRoom if you're going to tweet stuff.
I'm glad you brought that back.
I love In the Room.
So guys, I'm Patrick. I'm a P to the D's. You can follow me, but probably shouldn't. I'm a garbage poster about how idiotic our president is. And I was going to say, that costume is distracting me out. Awesome. It's just the best.
It's just oh my God.
So great.
Kindred spirits.
So great.
Oh,
I
didn't know that.
Yeah, exactly.
It is my new literal favorite thing.
It's so good. And to my left,
I am Stacey Shuttleworth. You can tweet at me online at Stacey Shuttles, where I'll be crying about some show or another. So.
Red versus blue. As noted by her cosplay. Hi, my name is Mark Budonica. You can find me on Twitter at Mark Budonica. And to our left, we have three wonderful guests that, for some reason or another, decided to join us on our panel today.
Not sure why, but you guys are so, so sweet.
You guys have the P tape, so we were blackmailed into coming here.
You are my favorite follower on Twitter.
You told everyone about Tumblr on that. It's not a secret.
Well, these three need no introduction, but we're going to introduce them anyway. To Mark's left, Samantha Ireland. Woo! A lovely and wonderful human being. To her left, the lovely Jen Brown. Woo! And to her left, Shannon McCormick.
Woo!
No applause. Every applause needs to just be the wacky.
I just feel like if I work hard enough, I can be that when I grow up. So I need a picture with you when you're done.
Taller and ganglier.
So I love it.
Blown over in the wind.
It's the best.
Those of you watching on the live stream missed it, but somebody mentioned that there's a Nuklevy joke in there. I have to agree.
Honest to goodness, like, you're going to be shorthand jokes for the next time we're on a show together. Probably the next Camp after show. We're all going to be doing this, and no one's going to have a clue what we're talking about.
You'll know, hashtag in the room.
like one of those big hugging pillows.
But also tweet Rooster Team, because evidently in the room is being used by, like, 80,000 people that aren't important enough to be here. So
We got it.
Well, so let's not waste any time. We're going to go ahead and get into it. This year, basically, we're talking about most of our ABTV Rooster Team shows. As many of you may know, we at AfterBuzz TV, we do weekly recap shows for whatever show happens to be going on, and we here love Rooster Teeth.
We have a new line, actually. We are the ESPN of television.
Ooh.
Yeah. So it's just
sports then.
Yeah.
We are the ABC of television.
I know it seems like we're the C-SPAN, but no, we're interesting.
Mark, you said we're the ESPN of television. There's already an ESPN on television.
You know what I mean. That's Phil's line.
Oh my God, is it?
Yeah.
Anyway, testing it out.
Yeah.
Definitely. Market research. How is it, you guys? Thumbs up. We get it. Yeah. Okay. Our car salesman in the back of the room is giving an uncertain waiver.
Half power.
Well, let's. We've got a lot of shows to cover in our panel today, and not a ton of time. So let's go ahead and start off like RTX did. Let's start off talking about Camp, because Camp has been
already did it three times. We're good.
Yeah. Such a surprisingly hilarious and wonderful show. I every time I think they go a little bit too far, somehow they still manage to make it work. It's probably one of the best animated comedies I've seen come out in years. How are you guys feeling about the season so far?
Oh my God, Do we want to hit on what we saw on the panel this morning?
Yeah, sure.
Talk about that. So we got a few announcements. There will be 12 episodes this season. The season finale is going to be a 22-minute episode because they're not working hard enough, I guess. Their jokes, not mine. And evidently, it's going to be something about parents coming to Camp Campbell.
Possibly.
Because a fan asked something about that, and then they started making jokes about, well, that episode would need to be 22 minutes long, and it would be a lot of work, so
which we totally nailed on our first episode of the after show this past Wednesday. We talked about it and said, this should happen this season. We
nailed
did it.
Also, evidently, the quartermaster has a sister?
Quarter sister.
Oh, did they announce that? I was not at the panel.
They showed a quick clip.
Oh, they did.
Yes, very short clip.
They with that whole episode. They showed the first part of it.
Cold open.
Sand sound effects, but they did mention that he still had pants on.
So that is that episode is one of the single most disturbing / fun times I've had in an audio booth ever, and I actually helped with a story on that episode a little bit. They had me in because it's quite quarter people focused.
And now I'm terrified.
And it's something else.
Did you voice the quarter sister as well?
I totally voiced the quarter sister. it's quartermaster's female sister. I mean, she's like just like him. Yeah. Oh yeah!
I'm not sure if you're serious.
I don't think it's ever happened before. I made Jordan shudder a couple of times, and he wrote the damn episode. So, or actually, no, Carrie wrote the episode, but you know they're all involved in various lines. He was quite familiar with the script, and I still grossed Jordan out a couple times.
So for sponsors, you're going to get to watch this next week, and for those of you who aren't sponsors, why aren't you? 2 weeks.
Yeah, so given the fact that we get a little bit more of his family history, I suppose you could say, I don't know about you guys, but I always picture the quartermaster as being outside of time and space. I just never figured he had a family. So finding out he had at least one living relative, at least that the government knows about, was downright terrifying.
Well, you know, they had time lords and time ladies, so...
That's true. But one of my favorite things that we've seen so far this season is that, of course, that sing-off from episode one.
Jesus.
And I wanted to go down the line and ask, out of all of the other characters on the show, let's start with you, Shannon, and move on down there. What other characters would you like to see have a sing-off battle?
Other characters in Camp Camp?
Yes.
Oh, dude, I don't know. Actually, you know what? I think it should be all of the characters that Sam plays. They have to sing against each other, and she has to maintain the distinct characters between the three of them. And it's like super rapid fire. Yeah. It's like every other word is back and forth. It's like
all
right.
It's
a battle rap. Yeah, it's a battle
rap. Battle with the
Flower
Scouts.
Scout Hamilton.
But we get straight street with it, right?
Yeah.
That's the only way that they could do it.
That's my answer.
That's a good answer. I don't know. Everything. Okay, let me give me 3 seconds to think about it, and if I don't come up with a good answer, then I'm going to shove it over to Sam.
Do you want us to come back to you?
You are deep in thought. There's something happening in your brain right now.
She's writing it already.
Why am I not remembering this? And I've seen this.
What?
Like, this rap battle?
No.
No, not me. But, like, what happened in episode one?
There's a sing-along.
We tape live,
sing-off between Daniel and David.
Between David and Daniel.
Yeah. Who else would you want to see sing-off?
Yeah. I know my answer, but I can't say it.
Oh.
Because it would actually ruin... the 22-minute episode.
All right, we'll put a pin.
I'll just say
we'll
my pin in that. That's what I'll say. I'll say Aaron's parents. That's what I want.
Okay, all right.
Ooh, Aaron's. I like it.
Hell yeah.
I think. Nerys the cute.
Yes.
Right, and then because she has a speech impediment, and then and it's adorable. That's like my favorite thing, and then.
Astro Kid. Is that
Space Kid.
I would like them to rap battle.
That would be the best.
Yes.
That'd
be real cute.
Think
would,
it would
so be the cutest.
Cute.
Thing.
That would be the
and they would be the nicest to each other. It's yes. Like an out nice each other. Yeah.
So sweet.
In terms of like a sing off or just people who sing, I want to hear the ballad of Jeremy Farts.
Oh.
and it turned into like a Pavarotti. Like yes. That's yes. The thing he's good at, but yes. Nobody's asked it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He's like, the best camper.
Why not?
He's just this soulful yeah. Singer
determined.
Deep down.
Yes.
This wonderfully talented kid that no one will give a chance to. Oh.
Oh, you're hilarious.
Well, just because I think it's the next logical step, I think Nerys the Cute and Harrison are going to have a sing off at some
yes.
Point.
Yes. Right?
Yep. We're leading up to that.
To a smooch at the end of it, right? That has to happen.
Sure.
Okay, so I definitely want a quarter people sing off.
Oh, God.
But it's a karaoke. It's a karaoke battle where the quarter master sings "Don't Stop Believing,"
okay.
And the quarter sister sings "Sweet Caroline."
Okay.
Oh, I was gonna go totally Eclipse of the Heart.
They should just do a duet of "Don't Go Breaking My Heart."
What would that sound like?
Don't go breaking my heart. I won't go breaking your heart.
After both,
don't go breaking my.
I'm having total Eclipse of the Heart flashbacks, and I couldn't be happier. Rap battle. I want the eye patch squirrel and the platypus.
Yeah.
It will be unintelligible and the best.
Oh man, it's way better than anything I could come up with. I'm just surprised that out of everybody, nobody picked Preston. He seems like he would be the most disappointed about being left out of some sort of sing-off.
Preston would be the guy singing the King George parts in this Hamilton. Let's be real.
That's fair. That's fair. I also feel like for any given sing-off where he's actually aware and not brainwashed by a cult leader, he would be like, I've got notes, guys. I've got some notes. But
he's opera trained and can't hold a tune in a bucket.
But one of the best things about this show is, of course, its cast of, like, not only the fact that it's such a fun ensemble cast on screen, but the cast behind the scene. You guys are just so insanely talented and funny. And for season two, obviously, I hoped that they would give you guys a chance to ad lib because that seems to be something that you're really good at.
Yeah. The dead silence after that.
It sounds like Arid's conversation with the chatbot in episode two was totally ad-libbed.
It does sound like it wasn't.
I don't do a lot of ad-libbing. I think Shannon occasionally does, but I've never done ad-libbing. Actually, no, that's not true. I ad-lib for Arid, but they never use it because I always do really dirty stuff. Actually, that's not true.
Wait, and they don't?
I say, like, really fucked up shit.
And they don't?
In the Arid voice, and they don't keep it. I do, actually, that's funny. I'm thinking about that, too. I do ad-lib, but I don't think they've ever used any of it.
Sounds about right.
Well, sadly, I feel like that's probably all the time we have for Camp, because we've got a couple other shows to get. We've got 85 more shows to get through.
Yeah, but Camp can talk about the show that's been making me cry for the past 4 weeks.
Hold on, wait a moment.
What
was that, Sam?
You're going to get to know more about the Flower Scouts.
Yay!
That is fantastic.
Can you tell us how soon?
No, because I don't remember.
Okay.
out of the three Flower Scouts, which one are you most excited for people to see the development of?
Aaron.
All right.
I have a soft spot for Tabby with two eyes.
Tabby is surprising, but Aaron, I feel like you'll get to know more on him, really on a level. Because I did. So. But yeah, I'm excited.
Cannot wait. So, yeah, switching gears over to Red versus Blue. Katie, how do you feel about this season?
I need to stop asking for things. Because if anyone watches our reaction videos, you all know the reaction to episode 10 was 53 minutes long.
Oh, God.
Because I've been sitting here for the last two seasons going, you know, Wash is my favorite. We haven't had a lot for him this season. And, oh, hey, he's back. Oh, he's back. Oh, hey, we're going back to the Freelancers. What? What? We are in serial killer territory. We're in a murder fridge. I am not okay. And so this is Schrodinger's Wash for the third time in three seasons, and I'm done.
like dying.
Why don't you tell us how you really feel?
You guys think that's intense out there? Like, try being like 6 inches from that. He feels for red and blue. Point.
Patrick's dying by proxy.
Patrick's just like,
I was a big fan of The Murder Room. I'm a big horror movie fan. I'm like, yeah, Murder Room, I'm all about it.
Oh, yeah, girl. When I read that script, I was like, did they do this just for me? Oh, my God!
They're going to murder my character terribly. I'm so happy.
And you just turn to them, and you're like, Joe, was this a present? Was this a birthday present? Joe!
Oh, it made me so, like, we were reading it, I was reading it at home, like, because, you know, they send you the scripts, and I was reading it through, and like, and then I was like, what the, oh, fuck, that's dark, that's real dark.
You've summarized everyone's reaction.
Yeah. I was like, oh my God, that's gross. And then also, are we caught up to that?
We're at episode, I want to say 14 as of last week.
Right, we saw the flashback.
We did.
Okay, yes. Right, okay.
We saw what's God, making God. Temple, okay. We saw what's making Temple so cross this season.
And Joe was, I'll tell you right, Joe was ecstatic to tell me about that. Like, he was like, oh, this is so exciting. So it's all Carolina's fault. Like, she totally fucked up. Like, he was so excited. Like, I was like, oh, that's so awful. That's, oh, man. He was just so gleeful. Everything. He's like, oh, and then we're going to do this. And I think I'm going to do this, but I'm not sure. We'll see. I haven't decided yet. Like, I love Joe.
You're killing me.
I love Joe as a person, period. Loved him before he started working for Rooster Teeth because I knew him beforehand. And as soon as I knew he was taking charge this season, I was like, oh, this is going to be good. This is going to be really good. Because he's smart. He's real smart.
Yeah, so was he kind of, like, talking through it with you to, like, kind of gauge your reaction as to how you felt about, like, Carolina's past coming back to haunt everybody this season?
No, more of just, like, here's what's happening. Enjoy. Here you go. I mean, and I knew some stuff was going to go on because he had already told me before the season even started. He's like, yeah, I really want to, you know, we're going to do some cool stuff with Carolina this year. And I was like, yay, okay, cool. I'm okay with that. Let's do it.
She's going to turn a corner in her character development and then get murdered.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Like, and there was more of that this season, too, and they started doing it last season. But, like, I get to be a human. Yeah. I get to be, like, an actual person that has feelings, aside from just, like, I hate everything and you almost die.
Well, not for long.
That rocket toss, though, is probably the single coolest moment in Red versus Blue. Like, I'd say the text fight with everybody has gotten so seemingly played out now, but that rocket throw is the... Did you do the mocap for that?
No.
Ah, that's a shame.
No, I do not do mocap for this show.
No? Oh, that's so unfortunate.
It would be a completely different Carolina if they had me do the mocap. Not that I'm not tough, but like...
Your reaction to the script would be a lot different. Like, oh, no. I have to do what?
No.
What?
No.
Oh, no.
I know Boy does Carolina mocap every once in a while because my friend Aaron Alexander has told me that he's done mocap for me. And he's a big old awesome big dude.
Big dude.
So what were your favorite things that Carolina and Wash did during the 10-month siesta? Dead silence. All right.
That you can talk about.
I don't know. I didn't really think about that.
I think Carolina trying her hardest to be the best at being lazy was just adorable.
Oh, the stuff that they showed. Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Of the stuff from the episode. Okay. Yeah. I thought you were just be like in general, like, oh, I don't want to think about that.
Let's go into NDA.
What backstory did you develop? I know. Tell me your headcanon and what they did.
Tumblr needs to know.
Well, we're professional adjacent, so I can ask dumb questions.
Yeah, no, the trying hard to be lazy thing, the band thing, I loved. I loved the band thing. I know, so good. There might be a song. There's been talks. I don't know if we're going to do it, but Joe and I have talked
about. Can we
about
just have every Rooster Teeth song? Maybe. Like, every Rooster Teeth series just become a musical, at least for one episode? Pretty please, pretty please.
Start the petition. I need the unnamed Red and Blue Band with Carolina as lead vocals.
We just start like, that rumor here. Like, no, just in general, like, just, hey, did you hear that they're doing a musical episode? And then...
I'll start it. Yeah. I mean, we did talk about it. I don't know if we're going to do it, but it was kind of mentioned randomly, and Joe was like, could you sing badly? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I can. Aww. I can sing.
Beautiful voice. Beautiful voice.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I was like, oh, there's a party that's kind of like, oh, the first time that Rooster Teeth's going to hear me sing, it's like going to be my shitty voice and not like my pretty voice. I don't care. It's going to be hilarious if we do it. Nah, I don't care. But it'll be fun if we get to. It's been tough. Who knows?
I would also not put it past Temple to be like so, like, have so much of an ego that he would give himself a villain song. Like, he's just that. I mean, he looks up Shakespearean quotes for dummies, for goodness sake.
I'm
so.
Also the best.
I'm Mr. Dickmaster. I'm Mr. Fun.
But as you guys brought up, it is such a shame. Like, this is, like, the worst timing to be put in a murder room because...
Is there ever a good time to be put in a murder room?
Well, no. But, like, when you've had a pivotal moment of character development for two of the series' most beloved characters, yeah, I think murder room is, like, the last thing you want to do as soon as you have a very pivotal moment. In particular, a moment where those two characters held hands and had
so
very deep understanding with one another.
So tender.
You didn't know that? So what's your opinion on car wash?
I watch that damn show. I died. My character died. Fuck it.
Those are my feelings.
I brought you back last year.
That's true.
Could that be an official statement?
For like four lines.
Yeah. Well, it's better than a poke in the eye with a sharp stick.
Well, it's always great when we get moments with CT, and it's always, I think 479er as well. I think those two. I was like, why can't we do more with 479er and CT?
I know. Because our animation budget went to the Mercs.
Lee, fucking Eddie.
Yeah.
The best.
Fantastic.
But yeah, we hold hands.
We hold hands.
It was a big deal.
So the fandom has completely lost its mind over that. And the question is, car wash or no car wash?
Dude, I don't know. And it, like, my attitude about shipping is like, whatever you want to do, like, who fucking cares, you know? Like, so if
I
you
deal with the Gumby thing,
exactly.
I
mean, if like, you know, if it's canon, well, who cares? If you don't want it to be your thing, then like, don't let it be your thing. Is my feeling, you know? And you can come up with reasons why that's not a thing. But if you love it, then there are some pictures for you.
The world's best shipping. You have a new answer.
Didn't need to go there.
You have a new wallpaper now. I mean,
it's like them holding hands. You've got the image already then in the show for you.
Someone's already put it through Blingy and put like all the hearts and the sparkly text.
Yeah, they can put sparkly text on it. They can like, you know, make a little murdered stalking board on their wall if they want to.
As you do.
Too late. Temple's beat him to the punch.
Cool. Mark, how do you feel about it? Do you ship it or not ship it?
It just seemed really friendly. It seemed like a moment where these two people have literally gone through hell and back, and it's like, can we just stop and be human for a second?
Exactly.
Let's be alive in this moment.
Exactly.
And I also think the take off your armor was an immediate diffusion of any sort of a thing. Amazing.
So we recorded that together. They had us come in. I think they were just like, we want to, this scene is pivotal, it's important, so let's just have the chemistry in the room be right, and we'll just have you guys both in the room together. But it was weird, so we wouldn't pick up each other's mics. We were standing in opposite corners
back
of the booth,
back.
Back to back, so we weren't watching each other. And we get to the line, take off your armor, and my first recording, I said it as suggestively as I possibly could. And she lost it. So everybody lost it. Because it was really, it was like there was just missing the porn base underneath it, you know?
Can you give us a sample of that?
It was, anyway, it was just...
take off your armor.
And I immediately just...
She's went, whoa!
No! No! Stop it! Whoa!
Then they're like, after they calm down, they're just like, maybe tone that down a little
bit. Take it down a couple notches.
Yeah, just dial it down.
Not about that. Not about that.
Well, I really, even though I feel like it was pretty easy to see through what sort of Temple was being the bad guy, I really like the idea of him sort of, at least in his own mind, being able to justify his actions. I thought that was really cool. And not to mention the initial kind of murder mystery, kind of whodunit setup at the very beginning, I like that we got almost immediate payoff for it because it means we're only like halfway through the season, right? It means that there's going to be even more stuff to come where I thought that would be like overarching stuff.
Well,
so,
this season's been really good at here's a premise. Wait, no, okay, we were messing with you. Here's the premise. Wait, no, okay, we were messing with you. Actually, that Merc is just a lawyer. Actually, there's this. Actually, there's that. Oh, and now there's a murder fridge.
There's
your premise.
A lot of great misdirects, and I'm really enjoying it. Joe's been doing...
It was episode 10! I should have known!
But Joe's been doing a really great job of, like, keeping you guessing as to where this series is going to go, and it has clearly broken Katie, and I'm really sorry about that.
I'm in pain! I think this is what pain feels like!
It's become a therapy session at one point.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. I just want to find a significant other who loves me as much as you love Red. We'd all be better for
it. It's an abusive relationship. Fair enough.
That's disgusting. But
wow!
What?
Are you saying I can't find love?
No, I'm saying
that... Are you saying I can't find love?
Saying that abuse is disgusting.
And Jen's over
anyway.
Let...
Yeah.
No, but...
Let Mark talk.
Hi. No. Joe is the best. And in case you missed it, we had him on, not this last, but the episode before of our after show for Red vs. Blue. Go check it out. He gave us a lot of... No, I can't answer that.
Stuff.
I can't answer that.
He gave us a lot of interesting, maybe, hints.
Took notes on our discussion.
He's just like, oh, that's what you think is going to happen. Interesting, interesting. He poker faces pretty well. He just get oddly silent at certain points, and it was really funny.
An adorable cat.
Very cute. Very cute, for those of you who like cat videos on the internet. Now, I kind of want to switch gears again and talk about a show that near and dear to my heart. Not that any of the other Rooster Teeth shows aren't. They're all fantastic. But my personal favorite at the moment would be Ruby. And so I want to switch gears real quick and start talking about Ruby. Because, oh my goodness, if we're talking about shows that put me and my heart through the ringer, definitely. We had a new addition to the panel this season. The lovely Stacey Shuttleworth joined us this season, and I don't know about you guys, I think she's fantastic. Stacey, how did you get into Ruby?
I mean, it's something I saw online and just kind of started watching, and it was like instant love. This is a wonderful little crazily animated thing that was just fun to watch at first.
and then it became a chore.
Then it became heartbreaking. And by that point, you're already so invested that you just cry through the episodes, and it's all fine.
Everything's fine.
Did you have to marathon before hopping onto our panel, or were you already caught up at that point?
No, I'd already been watching.
You were already in it, and you're like, guys, I just got to feel my feelings right now.
I think I got to marathon through the first season, and then after that it was watching them as they aired.
Oh, man. This is one show that I haven't, part of me wishes I could just binge watch it on the first go, because waiting week to week is fairly agonizing.
It's a little easier now that episodes are edging more towards 10 and 15 minutes as opposed to 5.
Yeah. So, it's getting close.
It's
like
easier.
They're getting to the point where it's almost like every episode is almost the length of a full anime episode. Mm-hmm.
It's almost like they have a dedicated animation studio now.
Which is pretty fantastic. But guys, thoughts and feelings, mostly feelings, on season 4, because we've had an abrupt shift in tone after the events of season 3.
I'm so incredibly grateful for Jim and Randall. Just am. The Knuckle of E. That, oh my.
You might have to explain that joke first.
Satan pony at the end. I know, so my eyes goes over too. Right? That terrifying grim at the end.
It is, I think it's either, it's some form of Scandinavian. It's Norse or Swedish, or I don't remember the exact details, and I know that someone out there will be like, it's actually this, and I will be grateful for that tweet when it comes in, but I don't have it in front of me right now.
It might be Scottish.
Origins in Scottish Isles, yeah. It's this mythological creature that is essentially the torso of a man supplanted on a horse like it's riding it. The whole thing is skinless. It breathes out the plague. Like this thing is a harbinger of death.
And it makes me so happy.
Let's do a grim version
me
of
too.
It. Because it's not already terrifying.
Oh man, I had the biggest grin on my face when they fully introduced it. It just made me so filled with glee.
And then it went full on Stretch Armstrong, like, that's Harper Village.
But okay, you know what is as great and as much as I love the Nuklevi, the really upsetting thing is the way it's tied into Ren and Nora's storyline, and getting to find out their backstory was. Definitely gratifying, but at the same time, it puts their relationship in a completely new context. Okay. Sam, how did you feel like getting to see that finally fleshed out?
I knew that their relationship, that there was some kind of tragedy involved. I didn't really know for the longest time, but I did know that like parents were involved and everything in their families. And so I was really excited that we were going to actually get into it. And when I got this, when the script started coming in, it was very, very like, oh, I'm going to cry now. It was very emotional. I was like, oh, my goodness. Like, this is actually incredibly traumatic. And it puts, I don't know, put a lot of weight for me as, like, a voice actor to give bring that to, for my character, you know, like to give her more, you know, gumption or just the overall relationship between Ren and Nora. It became so solidified in my brain, like these guys are in it together always. And I loved it, and I'm really, really glad that we got to start saying it. I mean, there's more that's gonna be revealed. I don't know when, and I still don't even know what that stuff is, but I know there's more to come. And I will say, like, watching the episode after reading it, I was a mess. I was like, I didn't think it was going to hit my heart so hard. And, like, I knew it was going to happen. And I just, the particular, you know, the whole flashback episode, and I think that's, like, episode 10 or something, and then the very last episode in their interaction, I was just like, I love everything about this so much. And I think it just, you see them as young adults now. We don't see them as kids, sure. Which I really like. I'm really glad that they chose to do that. Even this, I think it's like, what, 7 months or something like that? But I feel like that they grew up so fast. And I think it's really lovely to see, especially for Nora. We see her as such a child, but she is more than that. Yeah. And with Ren, we've always wondered what has been so subdued about him, what's kept us from knowing him more, and now we just know like so much.
Yeah.
And it's just really beautiful. So that's my long-winded answer.
Well, given that bit, oh yes, absolutely, like given that part of their lives has, and that's sort of something that they now have resolved and that they can now move past, where would you like to see their relationship go in the future?
Well, I like what we were given. I didn't know that the helicopter scene happened where they held hands, like, at the end. I didn't know because I didn't have lines, so when I was reading them, if I don't have lines on the page, I don't know what's going on. No,
like, you don't record ads for hand-holding
So I didn't know that was going to happen, so it was just as much a surprise for me as it was for everyone that was watching. And I was like, oh, okay. So it's just going to happen, right? So that's, I would like, because they're older, I don't know. I would like them to have a relationship. But I don't know if that's ever going to happen or be appropriate for what
there might not be a time for romance.
Like, yeah. There's a lot of shit that's got to happen. So like, a lot of things have to be taken care of at this point. So I don't think that's such like an intricate thing right now, but that's what I would like. I would like there to be a relationship as they grow older. So that's my take.
It's hard to romance in the apocalypse.
Yeah. Again, more important things going on.
But
that's human nature,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, like it's been proven, like, during history, in times of, like,
horrendous,
horrible fucking historical events, people still have to have joy. People still need to find love. Like, I'm not going to get heavy, but just, you know,
yeah.
It's still, like,
yeah, for sure,
I mean, you have to, there are things that you have to cling to in order to hold on to your humanity.
That's how people come home from wars, you know?
Yeah,
and so, I mean, we'll see if it's important and if it's going to happen, but I hope it does, because I think, I don't know, it would be...
That'd be so sweet.
It would be so sweet.
If you're going to pick...
Sweet. And then I think also, just because of their age, that's happening, you know?
That's
for
true.
That age in our lives, you start falling in love, or you think you start falling in love. And, so it's,
Speaking of romance, we got a little bit of Pyrrha back in this season.
Oh my God, guys, I cried that too.
Yeah,
show of hands, who cried?
I cried when I read the script. It was not okay.
I cried recording it. It's okay.
But
I did a little bit, and so did everybody else in the booth. It was hard. It's hard. It's a really beautiful scene. It's gorgeous. It's really well handled. I thought they did it nice. I thought it was nicer, a much friendlier version of what I told them they should do. Mine was way meaner.
What did you tell them to do?
I told them that they should have Jean obsessively watching the Pumpkin Pete's commercial. So then you get funny and sad. So you get, like, Jean crying, but then you see me going, like, cereal! Like...
I had a very visceral reaction walking down the halls of the convention center yesterday when we went to go pick up our badges, seeing the Pumpkin Pea banners that they have hanging in the hall. I had a very visceral reaction and I started taking pictures and I was basically screaming about it, not realizing that the people I was walking with hadn't necessarily been caught up. So they just, as we continued walking, they're like, so she dies. And I went, oh, no.
Wait, are those people in our house?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I recently started showing a friend of mine, Ruby, and we got through season 2. And he's like, I think that Pyrrha's my favorite character. I like her a lot.
I've done it.
Yeah.
I've done it. I did it to someone I know who I forgot was a Ruby fan because we both go to a different convention. We both do Fantastic Fest. And we were hanging out at Fantastic Fest and I knew he was a fan of Ruby. That's all he knew. But we were talking about something. I'm like, oh, well, you know, I'm dead. And he goes, what? And I was like, oh, fuck, Terry, I'm so sorry. I just assumed it's been out forever. Like, why have you not watched it?
At this point,
Pyrrha was set up for death. Like, her name was based on...
From the get-go.
Like, we all knew that.
Yeah.
And then we all got comfortable.
I know.
That's a mistake.
I knew the whole time. Try keeping that secret in for 3 fucking years.
Oh, and
sorry, I cut off.
Even looking back at, like, our after shows where we had you on as a guest, like, asking, like, where does Jean and Pyrrha's relationship go from here? And you're like, oh.
Straight to hell. I don't know. Check it with me August of next year.
That was a hard thing to... No, it wasn't hard to keep a secret, but it was just... I felt bad. Anyone that talked to me, I felt terrible because I knew what was going to happen. Like, I just, like, was like, oh, please don't get too attached.
Definitely felt bad any time I talked to anybody. Like, last year here at RTX, somebody had just gotten through season 2, and they're like, oh, yeah, Pyrrha's my favorite character. I'm like, yeah, she's so cool.
How did you feel about Miles firing the stuffed Pyrrhas out of the t-shirt cannon this morning?
What?
Yeah, he was firing.
At the ruby panel.
He stuffed them in a big wiener cannon and just fired them into the audience.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's Miles' relationship to Pyrrha in a metaphor right there.
The wiener cannon.
Well, talking about...
The really messed up ones, like the ones where my ears are off, those dolls?
Yeah, the stuffed ones.
The stuffed ones. Yeah, those are terrifying looking.
Well, I got one, and it's great, but one ear is sewn up here, and one's, like, on her cheek. It's so hilarious. Like, it's so mis-sewn. Like, super mis-sewn. And she's like, this little face.
Talking about how important it is for a show to have actions with consequences, how would you like to see, like, further ramifications of Pyrrha not being in the show anymore? How would you like to see other characters dealing with that? Or do you feel like it's just something they need to move on from?
Oh, no, I think seeing them deal with it is good, because that's real life. That's what you do. Something tragic like that happens to you, you just don't, like, forget it.
You're not just like, I'm over it.
Yeah.
We have friendships, so we're great.
I would, you know what I missed and what I would like to see, but it's too late now, is I would have liked to see a funeral. I would have liked to see a memorial. I would have liked to see her family. I would have liked to met her mom and her parents. Like,
flashback episode.
That's what I wanted.
There's still time for that, I think.
Yeah, maybe.
Once, if they ever find each other, I think we all need to grieve now and have a moment
together. Yeah, there's still a chance for it, I'm sure. It just hasn't happened. That's what I want to see. Yeah.
Well,
that's what I want to see.
Again, it's a show with a lot of really interesting character dynamics, and one of the most interesting, I think, this season was actually Ozpin's character dynamic with Oscar, of all things.
I was real confused.
That's okay. So are Miles and Carrie. Yeah.
I walked into the booth and I was like, okay, what's going on? Because I just read this episode. What the fuck? No, sorry guys, but like, I didn't get it. I was like, I didn't get it.
Well, no. Shannon, you've known about this sort of development for a little bit, but it's a little different kind of like seeing it, thinking about it in the abstract and actually seeing the way it's developed on a script.
So what's going on with Oscar and Ozpin is half a long-term master plan from Miles and Carrie and the writing team, and half winging it from week to week.
That's the show.
But unlike, say, Pyrrha, where it was like they knew she was going to die defending the school, from the beginning, like it was never like, okay, so then Ozpin gets killed, but not really, because he's going to just inhabit a new host. That was never really presented, and so then they went that direction, and they're kind of still feeling out how the host symbiote relationship works exactly. So we're still feeling our way through it.
Does it put your perspective of Ozpin in kind of a new light, thinking that all this time through the other seasons he's had a voice, or he's potentially had a voice in his head that whole time?
Or is he the voice in the head that subsumed the host?
Katie's probably closer to where it's going, but it's still not locked down.
Sorry, Oscar.
So it's either like he's in Oscar, and so then what is Ozpin exactly? Whatever quoted for what's coming up, it's clearer. So it becomes clearer. It's a little Yu-Gi-Oh, it's a little Avatar. Ooh. It's a little, you know, it's got that kind of vibe going on. So
I appreciate
it. There's a little Naruto in there, I guess. I don't know. Like, I don't, you know.
Ozpin's in a cage?
Yeah, he's the nine-tailed fox inside of Oscar, and there's gems and shit, and I don't know.
Oscar's got this weird tattoo. There's
chakra seals and shit. I don't know. What we'll see in the upcoming season will be clarifying for that relationship between Oscar and Ozpin.
All right.
I like that.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm very terrified. Interesting. It'll be great.
It's also still completely up in the air.
and contingent and confusing. But clearer than completely confusing.
It'll be fog instead of mud.
I think nothing's final until it's released.
Yeah.
Or until two seasons after the fact. We're just, shit, let's just retcon all this shit. Fuck it. It was a dream!
We're still alive!
Somewhere a small child is
Osman ate some bad clams. All of this shit, it was just, he was just, fuck, he was a hallucination. It's in a snow globe!
We wake up in the Matrix. Oh my god. Well, given that again, they have a very interesting dynamic because Oscar, for a long time, didn't even want to acknowledge that Ozpin's voice in his head was real. He has no idea whether or not this entity in his head is just the product of him going crazy or if it's a voice that can be believed. And if so, like, is this voice helping me or going to be to my benefit? Like, I don't know. Where would you like to see that relationship go? Because if I heard a voice in my head, I immediately would not trust it.
You go back on the medication.
Oh yeah. Oh, they're gonna work. They're gonna work together, and it's gonna be
a thing,
like a Pacific Rim kind of a thing.
Yeah. They're gonna hop into a giant robot.
So Oscar's a mech and Ozpin is in they gotta work out the kinks, you know? They gotta run okay moving it correctly now. Yeah. Totally.
I want my cane back.
But
what's in the cane?
But it is interesting, like, when you were talking about the quartermaster earlier, I discovered, because also Wash is indestructible, that if you need a character who is outside of space and time, I guess I have to do the voice for him.
Quartermaster.
Some sort of weird, immortal side character, like, who's everywhere at once.
So that's, is there something we should know about you then?
Are you about me at? Personally? I'm 800 years old.
You're killing it.
That checks out. So we are running a little short on time. I just wanted to go across the panel. Any final thoughts on season 4 of Ruby and or exciting thoughts about what season 5 could bring?
I've done enough agonized screaming for this panel, I think, so I'm just going to pass that on.
Is there ever enough?
Lives with me. There is enough.
I really, really dug Nora's arc this season. Not only because we're friends, but like also like it was awesome because I genuinely really admire people who have been through shit and continue to be optimistic when they've seen the worst in the world and continue to project positivity. And like Nora was really fun at a superficial level, but when you get to know like all that she's been through, she's much more of an even admirable character. And I thought you crushed it. Again, not just because you're here, it was awesome. So, and I'm not going to leave. I'll leave predictions on the table for future shows. But anyway, it was my favorite part of the season.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Nora's the best.
Yeah. She is.
Yes. I think, no, anyone that ever asked me, I'm never shy about it. Nora is my favorite
same.
Character.
Yeah.
Oh,
y'all
are so nice. Favorite.
She's all right.
Look at his jacket.
Mark, you need to stand up and do a little twirl. Yes.
He's all gnarled up.
Stacy made that for him for anybody.
Brora.
I love that.
Yeah. And Stacy made the jacket. She does her own cosplaying thing. She made her Pira course as well.
Beautiful. Yeah.
So Stacy, thoughts on season
4. So kind of going off what Patrick was saying about just kind of seeing everybody's strength and how, like, I mean, they've all been through some shit at this point, right? And seeing how everybody is kind of dealing with that. And I like the variation. It seems like a very real kind of exploration of how different people can handle things. So just waiting in terrified anticipation for more.
Seriously.
That's about where I am.
I'm excited to see where Jean goes this season because he seems like he's losing a little bit more of himself as we go further and further, especially after Crow told the story of the two brothers.
Totally.
He's just starting to not be able to handle stuff.
Well, the world's not what he thought it was, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's such a shift. Yeah. So I think the season seems to be a lot about loss, not just Pyrrha and, like, the obviously Nora's backstory, but also his loss of, like, faith and, like, what the world was before.
Loss of innocence,
yeah,
too.
So I'm looking forward to that. And all, I mean, all of season four, it was just on bated breath to see. And just hearing Pyrrha's voice at the first couple episodes was like, what are they doing?
That was not okay.
How dare you?
Nobody's okay.
And then they sort of fulfilled the Joan of Arc thing of the hearing voices of the of the dead. Mm-hmm. And so that I want to see more of the source material of these characters a little bit more, which was cool. Yep. And the wooden hammer. God damn it! Just picking up the wooden hammer in the flashbacks.
A little baby
tears.
A little bit more character insight. Yeah, that'd be fantastic. Mm. Guys, final thoughts?
The stuff that I said, yes. And then, and then what I really liked Yang's story.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. I thought her story was really, really powerful. I don't know. Something just like hit a nerve with me every time we watched something that happened. Any scene with her trying to understand that the world that she's in now with one less than what she was used to. I mean, I thought her storyline was powerful, and she had to overcome as well. And I loved the relationship. I like Bernie's voice too as her dad. And but I think that whole plot, I liked that a lot. I think I liked that just as much as the Nora and Red stuff.
The scene where Yang comes in to her dad and the teacher's talking.
Yeah.
And then it's like, no, you're not a student anymore. We're all just inhabitants in this world, and we're all together. That was awesome.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah. So good. But I'm interested to see. I actually don't know much about what's going to happen next, to be honest. I recorded a little bit, but it was so very, very early on, and I don't know what's going on. So I'm very interested to see what happens.
yep, nod and smile.
So, Lisa Lavender, right. Are we going
to... Yeah, I'm like, actually.
Joining the team?
She's joining us. Well, Lisa's joining us.
Running a little short on time, we do really quick. We want to address the fact that there isn't really a whole lot to talk about as far as crunch time goes. It was a fantastic show. For those of you guys who haven't watched it yet, go watch it immediately.
We have a first membership,
and then check out our after show.
And be scared of Shannon.
Yes.
Oh, God, that was great.
One of the funniest things I have ever seen in my entire life. And sadly, we don't have any word on whether or not there's going to be a season two. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. Patrick, thoughts?
Go watch the show. We had a fantastic time with our after show. We had Andrew Disney, the creator and writer of the show. Sam Levine is one of the stars. If you guys haven't seen it, check it out.
I love him.
They were an open book after that first season, so they had some really interesting things
and
to say.
Really fun behind-the-scenes stories, too. Yeah, definitely check it out. So we want to use the rest of this time that we have for questions. Since I've got the hand mic, I'm going to run on down here.
Hands up if you have a question.
Anybody have a question?
And if you have a good question, I might throw one of these at you.
Ooh.
Maybe.
You're bribing them.
So listening to the Ruby 4 soundtrack, Luis Nature, it to me, it's like, I think that's the relationship between Ospin and Salem. How Salem was probably the first person after the maidens that Ospin decided to help. And she wanted to understand the Grimm in a different way from everybody else, sort of scientifically, and decided to do an experiment that made her turn into that mom, into what we know her as today.
Hmm. That's a good theory.
Yeah. Solid.
Yeah.
I like that theory. Anything about Salem's relationship with Ospin is insanely fascinating. Thank you.
And it's probably true.
It's true until
all theories about Salem and Ospin are true. Because
Schrodinger's theories.
This is just one thing that I've always been wanting to see since the first volume was something about summer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because we've now gotten flashbacks in Ruby, but we still don't know anything really about summer.
The first time I heard Red Like Roses Part 2, I literally stopped what I was doing. I was listening to it at work.
She was driving at the time.
I literally stopped what I was doing and, like, put my head on my desk because I was feeling so many feelings. I'm really glad that nobody was in the office at the time because it was super early. But, yeah, I think more about Summer's relationship with her daughters and the absence that she left. When she passed away, obviously that had a profound effect on Ruby. So it would be great to learn more about her because, yeah, she's just in photographs and in the occasional like still frame here or there. So yeah, thoughts, guys? More of Summer?
Trying not to burst into Nickelback here with the mention of photographs. So, other questions? Other questions?
So you guys didn't really talk about like. What happened with Blake and song on their island, I forgot what it's called, but what do you guys... Yes. And I was curious about what you guys were thinking about what happened with the black thing on the island compared to what happened in Vail and what was happening in that part of the world.
So, like, in terms of the white fang?
Yes, and, like, how would you like to see that be played out compared to...
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a two-person power trip with Blake and why my son... I saw an adorable baby son downstairs, and it's just been in my brain. But I figure it'll probably be a sect, and they're going to be leading a front against the White Fang, and it'll just be a big, gross battle.
I'm expecting a horrifying political coup from the White Fang. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
House of Cards style.
I think from what we're going to be seeing is more of Lady Ilia. That adorable chameleon girl. I think she's great, and you don't cast Jeremy Lee in a role if you're not going to give her some interesting character development. It's my thought.
So, way in the back.
Blake.
Oh, I'm calling on people for you.
Or Blake.
Do you have
audience have questions?
Are you going to be taking on the White Fang this season?
Am I?
Oh, wow, that was a good Blake.
Really good. Really good.
Bags full of tea.
I was thinking, are we going to see more of Yang's mom in the next season? Because she kind of popped up again.
I will be gobsmacked if
Raven,
we don't.
Raven, yeah. I was blanking for a second, but I'm like, is she...
She's not the second mom of the year.
No, she's horrible, but are we going to, you know, is she going to appear more? Because she kind of popped up in season two, and then she popped up again last season, yeah. So...
I will be gobsmacked if we do not. Like, absolutely, if we don't.
Yeah, she's like, everybody gets one. So,
yeah,
sure. So at some point, she's bound to pop up. We've got one over here and one over there.
Given the world of Remnant on Faunus and Faunus Gen X, am I the only one thinking that Blake's dad might be human?
He's a panther, evidently. Like, the fur. He has, huh?
He has toe beans.
He has toe beans, that's true. He has toe beans and chest fur, and those were his, like... I love Gera so much.
But I think you're putting thought into it, is my point.
Well,
like
yeah.
That's occupying mental space.
It's possible.
Awesome.
Yeah, I kind of thought he might have been for a good while until I realized his name was Bagheera. I was like, Bagheera, that's perfect. My favorite Jungle Book character.
Yeah.
Whoop.
Awesome.
Was also a very harried dad.
Who do you think the first people that. My mind blanked.
It's going around, it's contagious!
Weiss and I really can't remember.
Winter?
No, but like Weiss.
Her horrifying
and
tiny child brother?
Wesley, right? Without his name.
No, but like.
Whitley!
They're kind of going off on their own adventures, and I was wondering if you thought maybe they would be like trying to find some of their old teammates.
Probably.
Weiss made an escape.
Yeah.
I don't know, guys, thoughts?
Yes.
Well, I mean, to be fair, we are not quite sure which direction Yang went in when she was riding her motorcycle. I assume she was trying to find Ruby.
I'm on the rum team Ruby. She totally took a right.
I think so, too.
She took that right?
I think so, too.
She took a right. Thank you. We put it in bed. We settled.
I concur. Personally, I think Weiss went to Winter. That's my guess. It's the only family she has left, and going with her sister might be a good way to regroup.
I feel like she got the blue and white hell out of that kingdom entirely.
Yeah.
I thought she was going to
Yeah. Maybe.
To Mistral.
I mean, they could all very well be converging on the same spot.
And I mean, they were closing the gates, so if you don't get out of that kingdom, you're not getting out of that. So.
To get there ASAP.
Hi. Well, first, I was at Carrie and Gray signing. They told me to say hi to you guys.
Oh,
I
my God.
I was going to be here.
Yay.
That's them.
I was going to ask.
I was wondering.
Next level, get a tattoo.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Because I go to the Doctor Who convention, and we just do tally marks because of the whole silence thing, but I'm like, no, this isn't Gallifrey. There aren't enough ribbons. What's going on?
I don't know what you just said. But anyway,
regional.
Welcome to the panel.
It happened.
Anyway, have you guys considered doing a show for day five?
We decided not to do a show for day five because it is sponsor-only content, and it's long-form sponsor-only content, and we didn't want to be the people who were like, well, if you don't have a sponsor membership, we sit here and talk about what it's about. Like, ew. Didn't want to do the thing.
Yeah, Crunchtime was sponsor-only, though.
Yeah, hypocrites! Hypocrites!
Also, the pitch process for AfterBuzz TV, it's not just like, hey, the show comes out this week, can we do it? It's because of scheduling, and we run 30 to 35 shows a day. So just being like, hey, can we do this one? It takes a little bit longer, and day five came out, and then we got to talk to everybody here at RTX last year, and the time frames didn't match up. There is a month now leading up to season two, so I'm not saying that it's impossible, but we haven't started talking about it yet. But we could!
For the record, love day five. It is amazing.
It's so good.
Oh my God.
We're running short on time.
No,
so
we're out of time.
We are out of time.
We're done. We got time is up.
Yeah. Oh,
sorry, guys. Let's talk afterwards. Yep. All right, well,
yeah.
That does it for our panel. So
and Jen and I have to take
off.
Thank
you so much for joining us.